Welcome to Field to Fan, a podcast from DeltaTray where we discuss the intersection of media and technology in sport and entertainment. I'm Jason Bradwell. It's been a little while since we last spoke, but today I'm very excited to share with you an interview that we recently hosted with Roger Müller, Chief Media and Marketing Officer from the Swiss Football League, and Hendrik Weber from Sportech Solutions on the benefits of data ownership for leagues and federations. We dug into how the SFL's recent partnership with DeltaTray and SDS represents a revolutionary new approach to collecting and distributing official data, and how this benefits the league, its fans, and key stakeholders. The interview was hosted by our very own Simon Farrant, product marketing lead here at DeltaTray. So without further ado, here we go.
Hello, everybody. I'm delighted to welcome our guests today, Roger Müller from the Swiss Football League and Hendrik Weber from Sportech Solutions. I'm going to hand over to these guys to introduce themselves very shortly. I think before we start, it's probably quite important to give some context to this discussion. Certainly, I have been working in the sort of the sports data space for probably nearly 10 years now, and you know, it's been an industry that has always been characterized by rapid evolution, dramatic change, etc. And I think we've seen that, especially even over the last sort of certainly over the last few years, but especially over the last couple of weeks. And I think there are a couple of different factors that are driving this. There's the consolidation of the sector, acceleration and rapid growth from a technological perspective, and clearly technology has the potential to change and continue to change this sector, both in terms of providing new opportunities and new methods for data collection and distribution, but also in terms of replicating and evolving existing technologies. So I think with those two factors in mind and the convergence of the two of them, as I say, I think this is probably a very timely opportunity to have this conversation. I'm now going to hand over to Roger to allow him to introduce himself and provide some sort of context as to his role within the Swiss Football League.
Yes, thanks very much, Simon. My background is a media background. I used to work as a journalist for quite a while before I joined the league, 15 years ago, that's already. At the league, I had some slightly changing roles over the last 15 years. Mainly, my responsibility always was to market the set of centralized rights around the matches, our professional football matches. It's two divisions, first and second division professional football in Switzerland, that we take care of. And the centralized marketing roughly comprises all media rights from the games themselves and a set of advertising rights inside the arena. So that's the basic, the core where I have my responsibility in doing concepts, selling, doing contracts, whatever. Secondly, I'm one of the main persons of contact for all technical providers, being broadcasting partners, TV production companies, and obviously also service providers as DeltaTray now. That's a lot of new technical issues or technical subjects that have come up in the last few years in my area of work. And lastly, with that came also a drive in the digital world. So I'm also trying to develop initiatives in the digital world, digital transformation, digital services, and digital communication. So that's roughly where I'm working.
Great. Thank you. And Hendrik, introducing yourself.
Yeah. Hi to everybody who's listening. And thanks for having us and me here. My name is Hendrik Weber, so I'm the Managing Director of Sportech Solutions, which is a joint venture between the DeltaTray Group and DFL. DFL being the governing body for Bundesliga and Bundesliga 2. And I started within the DFL, not 15 years like Roger, but 10, almost 11 years ago with the DFL. I actually started as kind of a product manager role for Match Data. That's really how I entered the league. Before that, I was more from business administration side and a consultancy business. But then I moved with a product manager role to the league with actually the Match Data project. But then I had the privilege over the 10 years to have various roles, like head of technology innovation, head of strategic projects, which was quite a fun time last 10 years with various challenges. But what was always a key aspect was everything relates to data. So I was the guy within the DFL who tried to, to develop it from a project to then now being actually a company. So 5 years ago, we established this kind of joint venture, kind of bundling all sports data and sports technology aspects into one legal entity. And now just recently, like 5-6 months ago, we had like the next evolution step. We actually act as a service provider and really try to help with the services which we delivered during the last 10 years within the DFL for other leagues and federations as well.
Roger, the reason we're here. So if you could give us a bit of a background to the SFL's approach to data and this sort of the strategic decision-making that underpinned your move towards this owned data ecosystem.
Yeah, I have to move a bit back in time when I started the league. We are a small, you could say mid-sized, but rather a small league. So you're when I started, and that's obviously still the case, you're heavily depending on third-party service providers, third-party companies to do whatever is necessary around the game so that everything runs properly. That's the ticketing, stadium access, advertising inside an arena, TV production, as I said. So there are a lot of external companies that are very, very important. And we were really relying on them all the time. For almost anything. At that time, that wasn't really a big issue because we didn't have a proper website, we didn't have any social media channels, so we didn't even have a need to directly communicate to procure our own content towards fans or whatever. And we were happy to get some money in when we sold the licenses for stadium access for the broadcasters. But then again, there comes a time in your existence as a league and also as a club, which is very important that you keep these two always a bit together because they are very, very strongly linked. You start to develop your own ideas and some needs come up. And obviously in our case, the first two things that came up were first video footage, get access to video footage and use that ourselves. And that closely and directly linked to that is always tags, so data that you can then synchronize with videos in order to facilitate editing a highlight clip, and you don't have to browse through all the video footage because you find some shots on goal that you can directly go to because you have the data as well. So these two things, video footage from the games and data from the games, were always the first ones for us and the first logical ones to look into, to get more influence, to get more control, and to be able to do more what we wanted to do. Because at least in the old days, in my experience and in our world, the third party providers were the ones to call the shots, and they told you what you were allowed to do with footage and with data. And it was not necessarily what you wanted. Sooner or later, you end up in a situation where you are not satisfied anymore with what they give you. And so you're looking for new solutions. But that meant that we started to build resources internally in order to gain some independence and in order to seek some control on content. The data, as I said, was a very second logical step after the video. And especially when we started to look into having event data, match data that we can use for different purposes. We need to take this strategic decision. Should we still stay in an old world and sell a license of data collection to a third party and then try to rebuy some small exploitation rights for these data sets? Or should we not try to build an own data infrastructure and try to find a partner helping us with that? So that was the beginning of it.
In terms of that idea of not being allowed to do things with the sort of your own content to some extent, and I use your own sort of advisedly, can you give some specific examples from a data perspective? Are you referring to the specific metrics that were being collected? Are you referring to how it might be used, who you might be able to sort of pass it on to? What are you speaking about there?
Yeah, one of the first things that we wanted to do, obviously, is to communicate directly to fans. So we needed a website. And when we talked about what kind of content should we have on the website, data comes up as one of the first things. So data is a basic storytelling of content that you can provide. There is a lot of that. I mean, you can do it in a very nerdy way so that only a few specific people are interested in it. But there are lots of ways how you can use data in communicating and in fan engagement. There is fantasy football coming up at the moment on every corner. So there are some communication meetings. And the second and also very, very big part of this is match analysis. Our clubs, they need data to be able to prepare next game, to see whose player is in form of other teams, things that you all know, it's an obvious thing. So you need to be able to provide services in that respect as well. These were the first two ones, communication and tactical analysis of matches that were the based on data. And obviously, as I said, the third one is connecting, synchronizing video footage with data in order to just make your own operation more efficient and economical.
If you want, just on your question, just from my experience, like a very practical example, like when we first worked with one service provider, I don't name them, but some. Then I realized that every, I guess, league coming from a country has its heritage, and Bundesliga exists since '63, and to be honest, I don't know when the Swiss League, Roger, had
33. We are probably one of the longest running professional competition in the world.
See, so that's a long time. So you kind of establish your kind of like a certain editorial way of talking about your sport, and we realized that in terms of definitions, just to define certain things in terms of event data was not done like which would fit to the editorial way on Germany football is the football language in Germany. So we kind of tried to tweak and adjust the definitions and some to that, but there was a limitation because obviously if you as a service provider want to cover, I don't know, 50 leagues and 80 sports, you're not that flexible to adjust that if one league comes in and says, I want to have it differently. And that was where we realized, well, we need to change something. And then we come to that, I guess, later, but it was we tried to build it on our own. But there was really in terms of things like, what is a duel, or is a tackle, like things like that. And if you ask five people, you get five answers. And that was the first step to really define how we actually define our sport, and then make it quantifiable with data collection.
And so from a SportsX Solutions perspective then, how does it actually work in reality for STS to be a service provider? So actually using the Swiss Football League as the prime example here, how does that roll out actually?
Yeah, I mean, I can a little bit elaborate on that, and please, Roger, just jump in if I say something totally wrong. But at the end, I mean, I think like Roger earlier said, I mean, the overall objective, I guess, from the Swiss League was to take ownership and to take control to in-house things. And it all started to really come up with your own kind of operation center to capture large data sets with high accuracy. This is where we then come in, and that's, I think, describes quite well on how our approach is. We don't see ourselves as like a service provider more than as a partner, or as like called co-pilot or something, where we start with like a, I don't know, I would call it conceptual phase, where we share best practices, what the Bundesliga worked, what not, lessons learned. The definition catalog is something really to come up with the own football language, which is which maybe is relates to what FIFA is currently doing from a top-down approach, but is adjustable to the domestic needs, and then how to collect data and all the same data. It's very adjustable to see what makes sense for the league. So that's like on this conceptual phase. And then in the setup phase, then it's really something impractical, like helping Roger's guys in terms of getting the hardware configuration right, the software up and running, installation, testing, even the recruitment of how to recruit the right operators, maybe training, scheduling, train the trainer concept, or really how to actually how can you do it. And then in the run phase, if it really then starts, then hopefully, I mean, it just started, again, Roger, please say if I'm talking here something wrong, but to actually help then in terms of the first match days to get it running, support people from the like on the hotline service, so really get it rolling. Then from then point of time, a certain time, then the league obviously does it on their own, and they are in full ownership of all processes. But it's kind of trying to partner and help there to get the things rolling.
That shows exactly what you just explained, that it's not an easy way to do, but it has so many benefits that we decided to do it that way. But you need to do a proper setup. You need to start in phases. You need to recruit people. You need to train people, which is a very, very, it's not an easy task, but we decided strategically to do all this in order to get control, because we believe that in the end, cost benefit is way in favor of this solution for us.
Was that a difficult process on your side, selling that idea into the league?
Well, it took me roughly 3 years when I started the league to get to know the place roughly and where the troubles were. And from then on, my struggle started to explain these kind of things. So it took me a while, yeah, a few years. And it's probably also because, as I said, it's a new road. You've never been on this path. So it's already a case of explaining what the idea is. That's the first thing. Second thing, and that might be a problem that's football specific. Football is very traditional and very, very conservative. And we were a bit too successful, or football was a bit too successful. So everybody thought, well, just go on like we always did. And because football is that big and that great and that interesting, everybody will come anyway. So we don't have to do anything. It's probably a bit of a football specific thing where I had problems starting to change mindsets.
I also think it's probably worth just picking up on a point that both of you have made around the infrastructure that needs to be put in place to be able to achieve this, you know, effectively to collect this data. I think sometimes it's quite easy to underestimate how manual a process this still is, despite the sort of the technological progress that has been made and the increase in the ability for automated tracking systems, et cetera, to do high quality on the ball match data collection. You still need people to be able to do that, presumably.
Yes, I mean, for us, the advantage was that we started to build a video assistant referee center. We wanted to do this. And when we did that, we decided, when we do this and everything, data collection, video assistant referee, editing video footage, these are all things that run around video footage from the stadiums. So when we saw that we had an opportunity to build this technological center with another partner in Switzerland, we wanted to join everything together, connect stadiums with that centralized hub, get the video feeds to there, and so operate from one premise, which is I believe was a very good choice in our view. It works quite well. But then again, that's the technical thing. And then you're absolutely right. There is a lot of manual work involved. So we have one person in the arena live commenting what he sees. There is a second person who just types that in into the system. And then there are one to two additional ones who are doing live control, are amending data. And then there is a supervisor. So it's quite a lot of still manual work, which is extremely important at the moment in order to be accurate. And we as a league, we have every intention and every incentive to deliver accurate data, because especially our clubs, who are our closest clients, they want accuracy. That's very important for them.
Hendrik, is there anything you'd add to that?
Yeah, I think said a lot of very relevant things, but one was, I think, about centralizing certain things convergence of technology. Because this is really happening in the last couple of years, that leagues either via the VAR project in football, and other leagues, you know, other sports, it's more common, it has more history, but in football it's quite new. But there was a need to kind of have all the video feeds to a central place, if you do something like that, and then actually you have the video there, and then people realize, well, look, there's the same guys who are, you know, on the broadcast world, are the loggers doing kind of the same stuff as the event data people did in the stadium. And then there's again, then I don't know, the tracking technology using creating positional data, which actually can be used for offsite calling technology. So all of these kind of things are evolving. And I think makes it easier from a league if you go this way to build your own expertise, because then you can actually have all those synergies out of converging all the technologies. For example, in STS, I mean, we're also responsible for the Video Assist Center, which is in German based in Cologne, and where all the video feeds come together. But then we need to have the big thing in the VAR was that the fans pre-COVID-19 were very interested in what's actually happening. Since we collected the event data, we came up with a tablet application for actually the video assistant, so we could, and that he actually types in things why he calls red card or whatever, and then this information has been sent into the stadium, brought on the billboards, and that's kind of we use the same workflow because we did the core data and event data anyways, and we enriched it with the VAR data, and it could be used for a different use case. So it's just one example which pops up in my head where this kind of centralizing all those technology, then the synergies come in. And then in terms of data sources, yes, obviously it's mainly event data and positional data, which in the DFL Bundesliga cases are the main data streams. If you can look at the club side, as Roger said, I mean, they work with data as well. Then you have more athletic or biometrical data coming in as well, but that is then more happening on a club side.
Roger, I'd really like to sort of delve into some of the key stakeholders. You've mentioned a couple of them already, but actually how this owned data will benefit them. I mean, we've touched on clubs already, but do you want to go into a bit more detail about that? How actually will this data be sort of collected and then fed into the clubs? Will they receive it as part of their membership of the SFL, or will they? I'll leave it to you to go into some detail on that front.
These are very important points for us, because when we are financing such a project, we are keeping some money back that we usually would directly share with the clubs. So we have some centralized rights, we sell them, we get some money in, and usually that's distributed to the clubs. In this occasion, we say, well, we do it another way. We start to think about an own data operation with the idea to be able to provide them with services instead of money. That was a bit of the deal. So what we want to do, and this will be also a bit of the key, whether it works in the end, will be whether they adopt it, yes or no. And this is that we start. Firstly, we start off with data export, and we're feeding out data feeds for a match ticker, for a statistic analysis, whatever. That's the first set of services that we can do through the cooperation with DeltaTray and Sportech Solution. Because we have a tool where we can administer data that's pushed to clients. That's one thing that we are doing at the moment. And the response up to now has been very encouraging that we are on the right way and that they will adopt this. They use these data as well to do a live ticker on their own website, to use it for their social media posts or whatever. That's one thing. The second thing is that attached to that, we believe that it's, and we are working at the moment with a solution to be able to provide certain website elements to the clubs directly that they can use, that are based on the data we collect, and they can add some additional club comments or whatever. And then the third one is to try to establish a platform for technical, tactical match analysis. As we said, we are already looking into this and we are trying to roll that out. So this is roughly what the clubs will get in the beginning. This is step one. There is a lot of things that could come in the end, because it's a never-ending story, to be honest. Same applies to some other groups as broadcasters. I mean, we talk a lot about storytelling. Hendrik mentioned very, very correctly that it's as a league, a national league, you also want to have a bit of a different positioning than a Champions League or a big worldwide event. So this storytelling about your traditions, your history, these kind of things become extremely important in having an own image of the Swiss football, with the teams. So you try to help broadcasters, media, with storytelling around data sets. So we also can provide them with export of data, but we will also want, and that's where we are already looking into and working also in that direction, to create stories for them with them so they can use, they have more background that they need to really have attractive to be able to show these competitions in an attractive way. Then same applies to sponsors. Sponsors, they have a lot of, they used to buy advertising space and pushed their logos to these spaces. That's not the case anymore. They want content, they want digital content. And again, data is a very good point of adding advertising partnerships or enhancing advertising partnerships through being a data partner, a timing partner. There are a lot of different kind of these options, but we have also had experience with really sending live results to the website of a commercial partner for us and under certain circumstances. And then last but not least, games, gamification. I mentioned before, every football fantasy manager game needs some kind of data sets from somewhere. They get them from somewhere. And we want to be able to be the first provider that they think about when they are looking into data sets like this. And then obviously what you do is when you start commercializing these data sets as well, because the operation is quite costly, so you need to get some money back again, recoup some money. So you give to the clubs quite a lot of these things free of charge, because it's a service that they, otherwise we would have sent them just money, now we send them services, so we need to be very low in price or give them a certain set of base services free of charge. And then you add to sponsors, you're doing it differently, you price it in a sponsorship package, with broadcasters the same and so on. That's roughly where we see these different kind of stakeholders. But there are also referees, training sessions for referees based on data sets. So there are a lot of stakeholders also internally who need these kind of sets to be able to become better in what they do.
Don't want to spend too much longer with me speaking here. The one final point I do want to pick up though is effectively, Roger, how are you measuring the success of your approach here? We've touched on it already, the sort of the short term versus the long term, the fact that to some extent you have to work hard to sell this this approach into the wider league. How are you reporting on that success, or how are you demonstrating that success, or how are you measuring it?
Well, first thing is get reach on a new digital hub that we are building. So it's increased reach on the website. With that, increase commercial revenue in the digital world through our digital channels. It's all based on data and video, as I said before. So these are the first things that we will be looking into, and we will be able to hopefully measure success. Second field is, as I said, is how much the clubs adopt this and join us in this. And so get our data, use our data, see it as a prime current data currency in Swiss football, whatever. Use the services. So as the more clubs that are adopting these services, the better it is. That will be a measure of success. And by then this longer term is try to build some kind of a joint ecosystem with the clubs to work closer together to share content based on a positive experience we have with this data cooperation.
Sounds good. Hendrik, I don't know if there's anything you want to add to that in terms of, well, based on your experience with from a Bundesliga perspective, obviously you've had a bit more time to see how this has evolved from your perspective.
We started the journey a couple of years ago. So I think the fruits of that is that actually there was a company established. Enough stakeholders realized that it's actually working. And I think the best feedback so far is that actually the idea that we start leveraging the services for the DFL maybe to others is actually the implication or the consequence of actually that proactively people were asking for. It was not like we were pushing for it. Roger and the Swiss League is actually one of the first adopters there to kind of go this line. And so that's, I mean, that's, I think, the best feedback you can get. Because when I started 10 years ago, and I was trying to do this kind of pan-European or even pan-sports dialogue between the right holders. So I realized that the challenges are always the same to a certain degree. And to really benefit from the best practices, that just, I mean, it brings the whole kind of sports to the next step. If that can play a little tiny role in there, that's just a great success, I think, for my side.
Brilliant. Okay. Well, listen, I really want to thank you both for participating today. It's been a really interesting discussion. Hendrik, Roger, really appreciate the time you've taken. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
And that's it for this episode of Field to Fan. A massive thank you again to Roger, Hendrik and Simon for pulling together this incredible interview. If you've enjoyed listening, be sure to subscribe, rate and leave a comment. It all makes a huge difference, and thank you in advance. If you'd like to learn more about DeltaTrade, you can visit our website at www.deltatrade.com, or you can reach out to us on LinkedIn or Twitter. We'll also be dropping the link to the video recording of this interview in the description of this episode. All credits for the soundtrack go to Rex Banner, and this episode was produced, as always, by Marco Lorenzi. Thanks very much. See you next time.